ora, welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Jane Patterson. Race relations has been a fundamental part of political debate in New Zealand. It's been a flashpoint for conflict, for reconciliation, for prejudice, and for the conversation about how Aotearoa moves forward and the recognition different parts of the community, most notably tangata whenua, are given.
Really important that New Zealanders know what the government has in store for it.
National Party leader Judith Collins re-sparked the race debate with her speech to National's first regional conference in Auckland. She acknowledged the treaty breaches and that those wrongs should be addressed. She also said there is room within the health system based on need for delivering programs that target the needs of Māori and other groups. But she used the example of the Māori Health Authority, claiming it would have veto rights over $20 billion worth of government health spending to start the national conversation.
And there are two relevant questions here, and it's important that we consider them both. First, is this what the Māori chiefs and Hobson imagined in 1840 when they agreed we are now one people? And secondly, is this the way New Zealanders today, in 2021, want to move forward as a society? No. Do we want separation of governance along ethnic lines?
The pressure then came on Labor to explain what the Hipuapua report was, what was the plan, and why had the public not heard about it. Jacinda Ardern said it was a report that had not yet reached cabinet ministers, so was not at the point where any decisions had been made, so did not require a proactive release. National came under pressure for talking about separatism and division and the substance of some of the claims, including the veto power of the authority. But Ms Collins had the backing of one of only two Māori MPs in her caucus, Deputy Leader and Health Spokesperson Shane Reti.
If you start up with a high-level principle like that, then Māori are top of the need tree.
And Health Minister Andrew Little said a veto wouldn't be an issue.
We will get a decision, because everybody wants that.
Any concerns that might draw out, or there'll be, you know, it's going to take us longer to get policy off the ground?
That might extend the policy making and decision making out by a margin, a small margin, but it won't stop reaching agreement.
Judith Collins took on the Prime Minister in Parliament.
Isn't that, in fact, a power of veto? Because the Māori Health Authority needs to co-sign or approve all national health strategies, and what happens if it decides not to?
Mr. Speaker, again, this is partnership. We have to form agreement on how we are going to roll out health policies that we want to make a tangible difference to the health of Māori communities. Now, if the member has another proposal on how to achieve that, I'd very, very much be interested in it. But a lot of thought and work has gone into these proposals, and our view is ultimately it will make a difference to health, and therefore it will make a difference to the way that we're able to allocate our health resources and ultimately save people's lives and save money.
If this is actually based on need, as the Prime Minister now seems to be indicating, then why is she not contemplating, say, a Pacifica Health Authority with a power of veto like she's giving the Māori Health Authority?
Mr. Speaker, I'm not actually going to go down the track of implying here.
Order. I apologise to the Prime Minister. I know it's the first day back after the school holidays, but I think members, especially on my left, but earlier on my right, need to know that they're back at work now, not just in a playground yelling.
Mr. Speaker, the question that I would put to the member is, on what basis did the National Government establish whānau order?
That's right.
On what basis did the National Government seek to support kohanga reo? An acknowledgement, actually, of not only the obligations that we have, but that we should be offering services, be they health or education or social services, in partnership with Māori. I don't think that's a new concept. It certainly never used to be a new concept for National.
Ms Collins continued her line of questioning the following week.
When she told media on Monday that she plans to have public engagement on the Heapuapua report, when will that public engagement take place and what form will it take?
Mr Speaker, actually, this is the very issue itself that ministers are yet to consider, but that is why Te Pūpua were asked to come together and to provide not only their expert opinion on the delivery of UNDRIP within New Zealand, but actually how we as a government should engage with the people of New Zealand in responding. I hear the member's call for a timeline on that, and whilst I can't provide that today, I can tell you it will not take the 9 years that it took National.
That's right. Does she endorse her Minister for Māori Development statement last night that he would first talk to Māori to, quote, see where they see things are going, particularly in terms of the Constitution? We want to get their view, and then we want the public's on where we go in terms of partnership, end quote.
Mr Speaker, I would be very surprised if, had the National Government fulfilled its commitment in its Cabinet Minute in 2014 to set up a pathway to fulfilling the declaration, I would have been very surprised if that did not involve engagement with Māori.
Yeah, that's right.
Because after all, it was meant to be about a pathway to seeing the declaration lived up to within New Zealand, and it is a declaration on the rights of Indigenous people.
Insisting conversations with Māori about the future are nothing to be scared of.
What the member characterises as separatism, I characterise as partnership.
And hitting back, citing the contents of a Māori health strategy released under the previous National Government.
Enabling whānau, hapū, iwi and Māori to exercise control over their own health and wellbeing, as well as the direction and shape of their own institutions, communities and development as a people, is a key thread of He Korowai Oranga.
Māori Party co-leader and MP Rawiri Waititi objected.
When it comes to views of Indigenous rights and Indigenous peoples, those views must be from those Indigenous peoples for the Indigenous rights of our people. They can't be determined by people who are not Indigenous. So what I am asking Ihikama to this House, tēnā koe te piri mea, is that if we find this attitude acceptable in this House, the constant barrage of insults to tangata whenua, then I find this House in disrepute. And
Order. Order. The member's mic's off, so he will resume his seat. Order. The member will now leave the chamber.
Outside the House, he and fellow co-leader Debbie Ngāriwa-Packer told reporters they're standing up against conduct they say is fuelling racism and venom against Māori.
Judith Collins had started this, but at the end of the day, it's the House that determines the behaviour. We're teaching our rangatahi, our mokopuna, to be proud to be Māori. And we go into a place like this that telecasts daily behaviour like that, and we have to call it to order. And I'm sure your generation expects us to do that too.
Do you understand, though, the difficulty that the Speaker has? If he started shutting down the National Party, they'd be out here crying foul.
But it's not shutting down the National Party, it's shutting down racist rhetoric.
It's rhetoric and propaganda. It's got nothing to do with shutting down the National Party. I'm sure the National Party has many policies, as according to them, they benefit Aotearoa. But the opposition leader has been constantly bashing Māori to gain the votes of her Pākehā constituents, and that's all it is.
So do you not accept the argument of Trevor Mallard that Parliament is a broad church?
It can be a broad church, but why would you focus your whole energy on one race, on tangata whenua? Has she not read the Titi Waitangi? There are two nations in there. One is tangata whenua, the other are tangata tiriti.
Judith Collins was asked if she was race-baiting.
I think that's a really lazy way of categorising asking questions about our constitutional arrangements, and I will not ever engage in that. It is very important, though, that when the government is undertaking constitutional changes that do have a race basis to them, that unfortunately I end up having to ask the questions because the Prime Minister simply doesn't answer.
Rawiri Waititi says that you've been constantly bashing Māori, using racist rhetoric, racist propaganda, inciting racism in the populace to
win votes from Pakeha. What's your response?
I think that's a very lazy categorisation, and I will not stop asking questions in Parliament about any constitutional changes that the government seems to be working on until the Prime Minister answers questions directly. When she wants to answer questions directly and she wants to engage in a national conversation with New Zealanders as adults and in a dignified manner, I am very happy at that stage.
Minister for Crown Māori Relations Calvin Davis told Parliament reaching for the race card is a sign of desperation, and he pushed back against the language being used by National.
Working in partnership with Māori is not, never was, and never will be apartheid. It is inconceivable in 2021 a New Zealand politician can confuse rangatiratanga with apartheid. Sorry. Apartheid is the oppression of people. Rangatiratanga is the empowerment of people, and it is a guarantee of te tiriti or waitangi. Sorry. And rangatiratanga is what my great-great-great-great-grandfather Whetoi Pōmare signed his hapū and his descendants up to in February of 1840. When Judith Collins later said, is that what those chiefs thought they were signing up to? My answer is, hell yeah, that's exactly what they were signing up to.
Speaker Trevor Mallard asked MPs to take care about what they say and how they say it.
But I am not going to ask one part of the House to refrain from suggestions that some policies are race-based or effectively racist. And I'm not going to stop another group in the House expressing the view that other members' views, not the members themselves, but the views expressed, are in fact racist.
Matthew Tukake, chair of the National Māori Authority, called on all politicians to raise the level of debate.
Oh, look, I think all sides deserve a bit of a serve here. I mean, look, no one's covering themselves in glory. And this is at a time when we have some really brutal statistics emerging, not only as a result of COVID-19, but the sort of stuff that's been amplified as a result of the pandemic. You know, we're faced with a housing crisis. We still have those high suicide rates. Mental health is writ large. We've got kids going hungry in schools. I mean, you name it. And while all of this is happening and where we should be concentrating our efforts, instead we're descending into madness and we're using race as a card out of the old sort of Don Brash playbook from years ago. Well, that didn't work out for National. It took years for John Key to try and restore themselves to the centre. And yet here we are again. And like I say, it's not just a National issue. National Party and Judith Collins, the weaponisation of the race card is writ large right across the political divide. Well, I'll give an example. The classic, let's just ignore the fact that Māori do in fact have intrinsic rights under Te Tiriti, under the Treaty of Waitangi. Let's ignore that whole partnership thing that we've all been trying to work on for the last many decades, you know, more than 100 plus years. Let's ignore that part, and that's what's been coming out of the rhetoric in terms of National the last few days. But the one that stood out for me, in fact, the two things that have stood out for me, number one has been when Judith Collins played the card about, well, what about Pacifica people? And the other one too is this whole use of turn of phrase about apartheid, segregation and separatism, you know, and that's been used by a multiplicity of people, both, you know, on social media, in the media, and in particular through that the National Party conference the other weekend, and to frame up that somehow Māori in the context of some sort of apartheid or segregation movement. I mean, apartheid was a terrible, evil unfolding of history in South Africa, and segregation was terrible in the United States. Are we now saying that somehow Māori are forcing that sort of system on people?
ACT leader David Seymour describes the debate as becoming uncomfortably racialised.
But I have to say the main driver of that is that the government is introducing policies that are race-based, that are race-specific, and explicitly carve out different sets of rights for people based on ancestry. That's what's driving the debate. Some people say that perhaps democracy is different in New Zealand, that some seats at the table should be reserved for people based on ancestry under the Treaty of Waitangi. Others of us would say that democracy is the best system of government, and it means one person, one vote on representative bodies, regardless of who your ancestors may have been, because we all have complex histories, not just Māori. That's a debate that needs to be had. People who throw around epithets and charges of racism need to either abandon introducing race-based policies or be prepared to debate them.
How much responsibility do politicians need to take for the tone of this debate? We've heard from Māori MPs from across the political spectrum that on social media, as soon as these issues come up, they are subject to vile racist attacks, particularly on social media, and they say there's a direct correlation between the debate brought up by all politicians and then effectively the backlash that they get.
Well, I think members of parliament need to take responsibility for deliberately inciting any sort of racial abuse, but I'm not seeing that. So I can't speak for National, but certainly not on behalf of ACT. The government has a report in the form of Hepuapua which calls for a Maori upper house. That's a major constitutional change. I asked the Prime Minister if they were going to take the report seriously and she ruled it out. If that sort of debate leads to some idiots on social media blasting around racial epithets, that's extremely regrettable.
That's Focus on Politics. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jane Patterson. Mā te wā.